Good afternoon, everybody. Would like to thank the organizers for the kind invitation. The topic that I'm going to focus on this afternoon is the parametric programming, and in particular, the global optimization issues that we face while tackling these type of problems. The motivation for this work comes from the area of optimization under uncertainty. That is how we started looking at these problems. And then I will focus on what we mean by parametric programming and look at a number of multi-parametric programming problems that we are solving and discuss the issue of global optimization when you're solving multi-parametric programming problems. And finally, present a technique, parametric programming-based technique for solving bi-level programming problems. The main motivation when we started working on these problems was the presence of uncertainty, and this uncertainty comes from the various assumptions and simplifications which one has to make while dealing with real or engineering systems. And you might know this, so far as the laws of mathematics refer to reality, they are not certain, and so far as they are certain, they do not refer to reality. Coming from a chemical engineering background, we are interested in manufacturing chemicals. So let's say we have a product, product C, which can be manufactured from chemical B, and chemical B can be manufactured from the raw material A. So you have different options, process 1, 2, and 3, to convert A to B, and process 4 and 5 to convert B to C. In a typical process flow sheet like this, the uncertainty comes from availability of the feed, composition of the components in the feed, the variation in that composition, heat transfer coefficients, mass transfer coefficients, product demand, variations in temperature, availability of equipment, and so on. Some of these uncertainties are continuous and some are discrete. I mean, what I mean by that is, for example, equipment availability is a discrete type of uncertainty, whether equipment is available or not available. Whereas the composition, it varies within certain lower and upper bounds in a continuous manner. So what are the main objectives for dealing with these type of problems? The main objective is, you can look at it in two different ways, objective one and objective two. And if you're looking from a stochastic optimization point of view, you're interested in determining an optimal structure or design or an operating policy in the presence of uncertainty. So you calculate an expected profit or cost in an expected optimization of expected function type of problem. And the trade-offs that you have to deal with are flexibility and robustness. I mean, if the profit is increasing, or if you have a process which gives you more profit, is it flexible as well, or is it robust to uncertainty as well? The other approach to deal with these involving uncertain parameters is the parametric optimization approach, where we're not interested in finding just an optimal strategy, but we're interested in obtaining a profile of all the optimal solutions as a function of uncertain parameters. So what is parametric optimization, or what do I mean by parametric optimization? You're given a performance criteria to minimize or maximize, a vector of constraints, and a vector of parameters. And you would like to obtain the performance criteria and the optimization variables as a function of the parameters, and the regions in the space of parameters where these functions remain valid. Okay, I've highlighted the word vector because most of the work that had been done previously in operations research has focused on the case when it is a scalar. So most of the work based upon sensitivity analysis or for parametric programming has focused only on scalar parameters, whereas we are interested in multi-parametric optimization. So mathematically speaking, what I'm interested in is obtaining for a given optimization problem, minimize fx theta over x subject to some constraints. I'm interested in obtaining x as a function of theta. Okay, and once you have obtained this x, you can substitute it back here and obtain the optimal objective function z of theta. Graphically speaking, I'm interested in obtaining this profile x as a function of theta. I've shown it for a single parametric case, but I intend to show it as theta and x are vectors. Okay, and I'm interested in obtaining this red profile and these regions, 1, 2, and 3 regions in the space of uncertain parameter theta, where these three profiles are valid. Because, for example, this profile is optimal here, but is not optimal in this region. Now, depending upon whether f and g are linear, quadratic, mixed integer, and so on, you will obtain different shapes of these profiles. If, for example, f and g are linear, these are linear. If f is, for example, quadratic and convex, and g is linear, this is still linear. But if you have, for example, yes. How do you mean? When, sorry? You obtain the one which is the optimal one. You can have different x's corresponding to different theta. Now that depends upon the case you're looking at. For example, if you have f and g linear, that is the degenerate multiparametric linear program, and there are algorithms to identify all those solutions. If x involves integer variables, you can obtain all the profiles by introducing integer cuts. So you have obtained one solution, you introduce an integer cut, and you obtain another solution. So it really depends upon the type of problem you're looking at. And in other words, the identification of multiple solution depends upon the problem classification.
So in general, this would be a point to
right? Yes. Okay, this is... Yes. So just to motivate the need of parametric optimization, let's say we're interested in optimizing the performance of this refinery, where we have option of two crude oils, 1 and 2, and there are three main products, gasoline, kerosene, and fuel oil, and there is a byproduct residual, and the maximum production allowed is 24,000, 2,000, and 6,000 barrels per day. The objective is to maximize the profit, but the uncertainty or the parameters are coming from the fact that in addition to this 24,000 and 2,000, you can produce some extra value depending upon the government legislation that you have. So you may produce this extra box of gasoline and kerosene. So gasoline production expansion and kerosene production expansion. So if you have a particular value, what will be the profit, and how much crude oils 1 and 2 you should purchase. One approach is to discretize this space and solve this problem at so many points. Okay. But by using parametric programming, what you obtain are just two regions. So you can characterize this whole space by solving only two optimization problems. And you obtain the profit, crude oil 1 and crude oil 2 flow rates, as a function of GPE and KPE, which are the gasoline and kerosene production expansions. And these profiles are valid in these regions, region 1 and region 2. So this is a very interesting and very useful feature of parametric programming, which allows you to characterize a big space of uncertain parameters by solving very few optimization problems. And just to point this out, these regions are also known as critical regions. And another thing is that these two regions are mutually exclusive, and these profiles are valid in these regions only. Now, the fact that you can obtain the optimal solution as a function of parameters is very useful in online optimization techniques. What happens in a traditional online optimizer is that you have a plant which is operating. There are some fluctuations or variations, and which is the state of the plant. This is fed back to an optimizer, and it solves your optimization problem for you, and gives the control actions back to the plant. Okay, and this is done at regular time intervals. But by using parametric optimization, what you can do is obtain the optimal parametric profile of control actions as a function of the state variables. So if you get a state from the plant, you don't have to solve the problem online. You have already obtained the parametric profile. You identify the region where you are for that particular state of the plant and compute the control action by simple function evaluation and feed it back to the plant. So this, the online optimization problem reduces to simple function evaluation problems. One of the most used online optimization framework is the model predictive control framework, where what we have on this axis is the time intervals, discretized as k+1 all the way to k+p, and this is known as the prediction horizon. The red dots are the output of the state of the system that you want to take to a certain target value. And this can be done by this control profile or manipulated variable profile. But this is something which you compute for the p prediction horizons at this time. So you are at this time, and you want the state in the future to go to this value based upon what it has performed in the past. And this is the control profile that you obtain from solving an optimization problem. So at the next time step, now you have shifted the origin from this point to this point. So obviously this production horizon shifts from this point to another time interval here. And this is done sequentially. Now what happens at the next time interval is that you predicted that your state will go from here to here, but it usually doesn't happen because of uncertainty or disturbances. So it is always either below this point or above this point. So at this point again, based upon the measurement you have, you optimize again. You solve an optimization problem and do this prediction recursively at each and every time interval. This is the typical MPC formulation where you want to minimize a quadratic objective function of state and control variables. These are the deviation state and control variables. By deviation, I mean x minus x set or x target. And you have a discretized set of constraints or the model subject to certain lower and upper bounds. And what you do is you solve an optimization problem at each and every time interval. What has been shown is that for many nonlinear systems, the linear model predictive control performs quite well. So what you can have is a quadratic and convex function of discretized state and control variables subject to linear constraints and certain lower and upper bounds. And this again requires solving a QP at each and every time interval. But by using parametric programming, if you treat the state variables as parameters and control variables as optimization variables, the MPC problem becomes a parametric optimization problem. And you can obtain the control variables as a function of the state variables. Now, I would like to emphasize one point here. When we started this talk, by parameters I meant uncertainty. But at this point, by parameters I mean state variables. So the technique I'm describing is not specific to a particular application. It's quite general. It really depends upon the application you're looking at. And in certain cases, the parameters could be uncertainty. In some other cases, the parameters could be, for example, state variables. In the previous case, the optimization variables were, for example, the design variables. In this case, the optimization variables are the control variables. So this technique is not very specific to any particular application. So what we did is we reformulated the MPC problem as a multi-parametric quadratic program, and where we want to minimize this quadratic objective function subject to these constraints, linearized constraints. Now, x in this case are the continuous variables, and theta is the parameters. So for optimization under uncertainty, x are the optimization variables, and theta at the uncertain parameters. For MPC problem or a control problem, x is the control variables and theta are the state variables. For this particular problem, we have shown that the optimization variables x and the Lagrange multipliers are an affine function of theta. Okay? And the optimal objective function is a continuous, convex, and quadratic function of theta. We're not going to use this now, but we'll use this later when we look at mixed integer quadratic programs. But by using this theorem, we can devise an algorithm to obtain x as a function of theta. So let's say looking at a two-dimensional space where we have two parameters, theta 1 and theta 2, we solve an optimization problem at this point, let's say this point. Yeah? By solving at this point, we can obtain x as a function of theta at this point only, and lambda as a function of theta at this point, yeah, by using theorem 1. You substitute this back into the original constraints you have, and you impose the condition that Lagrange multipliers are positive. So you have two sets of inequalities in terms of theta, and they describe this region known as the critical region. So these two sets of inequalities, so by solving just one optimization problem, you have characterized a space of solution. So you don't have to solve for any other point within this region to identify what the optimal solution will be. You can simply say it is going to be x theta, which is valid in the constraints defined by these two sets of inequalities. So we use this recursively and characterize the whole space of theta until there is no more space to be left. This is a small illustrative example of model predictive control, where x at time t plus 1 is given by this expression, a constant times xt plus a constant times ut. Ut is the control variable, and we are interested in obtaining the control variables ut and ut plus 1. There are certain lower and upper bounds on 2, and our output variable is given by basically x2, 1.4 times x2. Now, by using parametric programming, you obtain control variable u as a function of x, and these are valid in these regions. So you have characterized this whole space of state variables into 9 critical regions. Okay? And each of these regions is defined by these sets of inequalities. So, for example, if you get a measurement from the plant that the state is 1, 1, x1 is 1 and x2 is 1, so you take this point and substitute into these inequalities. And it will satisfy only one set of inequalities. And you identify what will be the control action from these. The whole solution is here. So if you substitute 1, 1 here, it will satisfy only these inequalities. And you know that the control is going to be minus 2. So coming back to our original problem, so you don't have to solve this problem again and again. Okay? So that is basically the main advantage of using parametric programming for online optimization problems. The worst case computational complexity for this case is given by these expressions. And this is based upon the fact that each of the regions corresponds to a set of active constraints. So there is a finite number of active number of constraints that can be active at a point. The computational experience that we had, it is much less than the worst case computational complexity. What we have here is the C is the number of constraints and M and N are the number of optimization variables. So, and this is the time in seconds, and this is the number of regions, I mean how it increases with the number of variables and constraints, sorry, number of constraints and number of variables. We have tested this technique on a number of applications. I'm not going to go into those, and if you want, I can provide you more details if you want. They are control of type 1 diabetes, where the objective is to obtain the optimal insulin rate as a function of the current blood glucose concentration. So it is an optimal control problem, which needs to be solved at each and every time interval. So you can obtain actually that insulin, optimal insulin rate as a function of the blood glucose concentration and store it on a microchip. So you can have, for example, a portable drug delivery system, I mean integrated with an insulin pump and a sensor. We have tested it on a control of a pilot plant reactor, where we were interested in controlling the composition, the concentration of the outlet product. It has been tested on a control of industrial air separation units and control of automotive systems. Now, what we have looked at so far is the case when the problem could be described as a continuous system, but this is not always the case. In those cases, you have to go for hybrid control techniques. By hybrid control, I mean when the when either you have 0-1 variables, or you can have a transition in the state. So you can have multiple state systems. And for a particular case, for example, when you have a multi-parametric mixed integer linear program, where x is the vector of continuous variables and y is the vector of 0-1 variables, and theta is the vector of parameters, and you're interested in obtaining x as a function of theta and y as a function of theta. There are 2-3 main steps in this algorithm. The first step is that you fix the integer variable, and once you fix an integer variable at a particular value, you end up with a multi-parametric linear program. So you obtain the objective function as a function of parameters, which is valid in a number of regions, CR1, 2, 3, and 4, and you will also have certain infeasible regions. Now, for a single parametric case, it's quite easy to characterize this infeasible region. But if you can visualize a multi-parametric system, this infeasible region will be given by a number of polyhedrons, which are slightly difficult to characterize. Now, since we have fixed the integer variable, this red curve provides an upper bound. Okay. Now, the next step is to identify integer solutions which are better than the current solution. So you do that by introducing integer and parametric cuts. The integer cuts correspond to the fact that the next integer solution, the integer solution which has appeared earlier does not appear again. Okay? And the parametric cut corresponds to the case that the new profiles that you obtain are below this. So you have a constraint that z is less than equal to z1 theta in CR1, z2 theta in CR2, and z3 theta in CR3. So you solve this MILPs in each of the regions, and let's say you obtain an integer solution y bar 1, you fix it again and obtain the parametric profile, and you obtain two critical regions. Okay. So now you have identified two integer solutions and corresponding parametric profiles. The next step is to compare these profiles, the red curve and the blue curve, and keep the lower of the two. I'm not going to go into detail of how you compare, but it basically involves solving linear programs where you compare these profiles in certain polyhedrons, which are described by critical regions CR1 and so on. So you keep the lower of the curve and you further subdivide these critical regions. And then you again solve in these regions and you keep on doing it until you cannot find a better integer solution. We applied this to a small material design problem where the objective is to minimize the maximum deviation from a target property, and there are constraints on property upper and lower bounds, and these are the property prediction correlations, which are basically equalities. The integer variables correspond to the fact whether a constituent molecular group will appear in the final solution or not, and there is uncertainty in property prediction parameters. So we apply to this a polymer design under uncertainty problem, and we identify two most likely molecules as a function of variation in prediction of water absorption and glass transition temperature. So these are the variations in the two properties, and these are the two most likely molecules that are likely to satisfy the target property criteria. Now, moving on to a slightly more complex problem where we have a quadratic term in addition to the linear term. Now, the difficult part here is that if we fix an integer solution, let's say we get this solution, this z theta y bar, and then similarly if we introduce integer curves and parametric curves, we obtain a better integer solution, which is y bar 1. Okay. Now the difficult bit here is that the comparison of these two profiles is not trivial. Okay, and it is a non-convex problem. It's not only the fact that you have to compare these two profiles, you have to also characterize these regions. Individually, for this one and this one, these regions are linear. But if you compare these two, and if you can visualize in a multi-parametric space, at this interface where these two profiles are equal, you will get a non-linear curve to characterize the critical region. While the interior of this curve will be convex, the exterior of this curve will be non-convex. And characterizing all these non-convex curves is a much more complicated problem. So now, but the problem we are interested in is an online control and optimization problem. For that case, we don't have to actually characterize these regions. What we can do is, we can keep these two profiles. We can retain these two profiles. Okay? And remember, this is the measurement from the plant. Yeah? As the measurement from the plant comes, let's say this is the measurement, we will have two solutions. Because it's just a simple function evaluation. We will just find what are the solutions and use the one which is minimum. So you don't have to have a rigorous comparison procedure for multi-parametric mixed integer quadratic programs if you are looking at an online control and optimization problem. Okay. Finally, let me present some issues that we are facing in multi-parametric global optimization solution, optimization problem. This is the typical formulation that we're interested in. Minimize fx subject to gx less than or equal to b plus f theta. F is a constant matrix and theta is the parameter, and we're interested in obtaining x as a function of theta. If you look at the general paradigm for solving non-convex problems, branch and bound methods, are quite extensively used. And the idea there is that you create convex underestimators and you keep on branching and bounding until you hit, until the underestimator crosses the overestimator. The key motivation behind the work in parametric global optimization is the fact that there is not much work on creating overestimators in global optimization problems without which do not involve parameters. And for example, if you're looking at a global optimization problem which does not involve parameters, you can obtain an upper bound by solving a local optimization problem that gives you an upper bound. For a lower bound, you create an underestimator. But for parametric optimization problems, you cannot afford to solve the problem by using a local optimizer. So you cannot solve a parametric programming problem locally. And this example demonstrates that fact quite clearly. So let's say we want to minimize cos of x subject to x equal to theta. These two constraints basically mean x is equal to theta. The analytical solution of this problem is given by z theta. And if you create an outer approximation of cos at theta equal to pi, you will get this straight line. Okay, if we were to solve an optimization problem without involving theta, and if you solve it locally, the solution you get is an upper bound. But if you solve this problem parametrically and by using a local optimizer, the solution you get is definitely not an upper bound, because we are not interested in finding a solution for a fixed theta. We want to characterize it for all the values of theta. So we have looked at four overestimators, or the techniques to find a solution which provides an overestimator. So what you can do is, the simple thing is that you solve an underestimating problem and substitute that solution into your original problem. So you had an optimization problem. You obtain x as a function of theta by underestimating the non-convex terms and substitute it back into your original non-convex problem. The solution you get will be an upper bound. The advantage is that you don't spend extra computational effort to formulate and solve an overestimating problem. Now, the thing that you have to keep in mind is when you substitute it back into your original problem, whether the profile is linear or not. If it is linear, you can compare it. And the comparison is coming from the fact that you have an underestimating problem and an overestimating problem, which should converge within epsilon. The other option is that, for example, if you're looking at a bilinear term, let's say f and g are convex, you substitute it by w and use the McCormick underestimator. And as Flores and co-workers have shown, that the maximum separation distance between the underestimators and the overestimators is given by the area of the rectangle divided by 4. So you can simply put that value delta here, and it will give you an overestimator. So you solve the underestimating problem and just add delta to it. Now again, the advantage is that you don't have to formulate and solve an overestimating problem, and you're just solving an underestimating problem. So you're saving on computational effort. Now the third option is that you replace the bilinear term by overestimating expressions. Now the disadvantage here is that you have an overestimating problem, but you have to solve it. In the first two cases, you didn't have to solve it. And we have shown that the overestimated 2 is actually tighter than overestimated 3 in 87.5% of the area of this rectangle. So if you just plot and have a look at overestimators 2 and 3 for bilinear terms, it turns out that overestimated 2 is tighter than overestimated 3 in most of the space of X. But I mean, if your solution lies in outside that area, then it's a different issue. But the advantage there is that you're not solving an optimization problem, whereas here you have to solve an optimization problem to obtain the overestimator. And finally, the fourth choice is that for the case when only bilinear terms are present in the objective function, you can replace the bilinear terms by McCormick overestimator and reverse the sign of inequalities. And instead of minimization, you say pose it as a maximization problem. So what you're saying is that you have these constraints which are overestimating the bilinear terms, and you want to maximize the objective function instead of minimizing. And we have also shown that overestimator 4 is actually tighter than overestimator 3. So the message I'm trying to convey here is that in multi-parametric global optimization techniques, construction of an overestimating problem is quite crucial, because for any type of convergence, you need to compare the lower or the underestimating parametric profile with an overestimating parametric profile. And there are different ways of creating that overestimating problem, and it's not clear which one will perform better than the other. It really depends upon the problem you're looking at. Finally, the three main criteria are ease of obtaining the computational effort, tightness, and whether it's a linear or a nonlinear function. And it is quite important because you need to compare the two parametric profiles corresponding to underestimating and overestimating problems. Finally, let me present an application of parametric programming in bi-level programming. What you're interested, there are two types of problems. One is the leader and other is the follower. And we want to minimize capital F of XY. And there is a follower which has another objective function, small f of XY. The decisions from the leader go to the follower, and based upon that, they are fed back to the leader. So there is a link between the leading and the following optimization problem. So mathematically, you want to minimize F subject to G, XY, and you have an embedded optimization problem, which is also known as the inner optimization problem. For the case when F and G are linear, it is well known that even for those cases, the problem is NP-hard and non-convex. But by using parametric programming, what you can do is you can solve the inner problem as a parametric programming problem. So you can obtain the solution of the inner problem in terms of the optimization variables of the outer problem. And the regions where those solutions are valid. So resulting in a number of outer optimization problems corresponding to different regions, and then you can solve them independently. So you have this inner optimization problem. You transform it into an MPLP or MPQP, and you obtain Y as a function of X. So you have these solutions in different critical regions. So your overall problem becomes a number of independent problems, and you obtain X. So you can solve these problems independently, just in terms of X. And this is a small example just to illustrate the concept, that you have an objective function x plus y subject to minus x less than equal to 0, and there is an embedded optimization problem. Yes. By solving the inner problem parametrically, you obtain y as a function of x, and which is valid in two different intervals. So you have these two critical regions, and you can substitute it back into your outer optimization problem and solve them independently. So in two different critical regions, you obtain two different solutions, and you can pick the one which is minimum. So you want to minimize this. In this critical region, the solution is 3.11, and in this critical region, the solution is 9.2. So clearly, the global optimal is 3.11. All right, what I've tried to do is give you a flavor of a parametric programming technique. I've not managed to show you theory and algorithms for all the types of problems we're looking at, but I hope I've given you a good idea of the type of problems we can address. And we started by looking at optimization under uncertainty, and then found many applications in online control and optimization. And we have also looked at bi-level and multi-level programming problems, which can be solved to global optimality. And finally, I can advertise the two books that have recently come out in February. The first one looks at the theoretical and algorithmic developments in the area of multi-parametric programming problem and for various classes of problems. And the second one is more focused on its application in model-based control. Thank you.